Shkafer halacha. One halacha. Okay, I want to tell. I'll tell you for it. Wait, where are you guys for Shabbos? You here for Shabbos?
Yeah.
So I'll tell you for it. I'll tell you for it, and then you know from that word, I'll tell you what I want to tell you. Okay. There's some cipher. Some cipher in this week's parsha. You sure you don't want to hear halacha?
One.
How many halacha? How many ashka?
I really the only one.
Listen. At the end, maybe I'll say one halacha.
Yes.
The Tzemcipher, he goes. Everyone knows that in the Big Day Kahuna, all the Big Day Kahuna correspond to a different Aveira. And it's coming to be Mechaper on a different Aveira. So the tzitz that they have on the forehead is Mechaper on Azus Metzach, on Chutzpah. Okay? Tzemcipher, that's what it says. It says it's Mechaper on Azus Metzach, on Chutzpah. Tzemcipher says a Gvaldic idea, which I want to explain. I think it's something we need to hear. The Klal Yisrael are called the Az Sheb Umas. Klal Yisrael are Mechutzif. What's the pshat? How could you say the Klal Yisrael are Mechutzif? Klal Yisrael are Chutzpah, that's like the meat of Klal Yisrael. So, the Tzemcipher says that, in order to survive as being a Jew, you have to be chutzpah. You know, they like to talk about Israeli chutzpah.
Yeah, look as if they don't have it in Lakewood,
right? Yeah, but they like to talk about. Everybody say, we're surrounded over here. Yeah, you just look at the newspaper one day. I mean, don't, right? But you look at the newspaper one day. We are surrounded by Lebanon and Syria and Yamach and Shmoy and the whole chevra, right? You have to be a little bit of a mechutzif to be able to survive. You know, and constantly, there's so much tzaras and there's so much problems. It's not easy to survive over here. God bless you, man. It's not easy to survive, right? It's not easy to survive over here if you're not a little bit of a mechutzif. In Ruach Nias, right? In Ruach Nias, how could you survive if you're not going to be a little bit of a mechutzif, right? The Kloisenberger Rebbe, he once said, America is the easiest place in the world to be a Jew, but it's the hardest place in the world to want to be a Jew. You have to be a bit of a mechutzif. It's not easy to be a Jew. In America, it's easy to be a Jew. It's not easy to want to be a Jew. So it's not easy to go against the tide. We're the only people like this that do these things. They don't understand us. They, for 8 weeks, have been pumping into you not to look at girls, not to talk to girls, not to this. In America, it's called gay. Right? It's not easy what we do. It's not easy what we do. It's not easy. Right? You have to be a certain type of Az Mechutzif to be able to be a Jew. So that's why you have to be an Az to be. On the other hand, it says that I can say stories today, or no?
Yeah.
She was not in the world. But on the other hand, it says Klal Yisrael are Goyim LeChasadim. We're Goyim LeChasadim. The Metzius of Klal Yisrael is to be a Baishin, a Goyim LeChasid. He's a person. He's a finer person. How do you put the... So the Chasam Seifer's Vart, it's a nice Vart. You could say it if you're going somewhere. Not if it's any of my guys. I think they know from me anyways. But it's a nice Vart. The idea of the Chasam Seifer says that's why the tzitz is mechaper on Aziz Metzach, on Aziz Panim, on Chutzpah, on insolence, on impudence.
Right?
I know that word. Because what does it say on the tzitz? It says, Kodesh Lashem. It's reminding the person constantly that the midah of azus of chutzpah is like a tightrope. You can only use this midah for kedusha. But you can't use this midah not for kedusha. I want to talk about this a little bit because a lot of us, right? I'm from the Haim. I don't know if I'm from this old world called Flappish, right? Azus is like a way of life over there, right? Azus is like, I don't know who's from my Minagagan, my place,
Saying good Shabbos.
Who asked you to talk to me? Good Shabbos. You did a good Shabbos. But on the other hand, it means that if these people, you know, if my people, where I come from, are coming from that type of nature, it means we have in us the ability to become Aziz to Kedusha. I want to tell you today about some of the greatest Mechutzafim that ever walked the face of this earth. And I'm going to tell you stories. Right? I don't mean what I just saw as I was driving. Right? I don't mean that. I don't mean that right over here, Darton on Shmuel Navi. Right? You know, so like, you know, the street. The way it works in the street is that cars drive on the streets, right? That's like a normal thing to do. And the cars drive in the street. And, you know, sometimes there are cars that go this way. And sometimes there are cars that are parked, and sometimes like this, right? And there was a car. These eyes just saw that, right? That's why, I mean, every week there's an excuse, but that's why this week I'm late. There was a car that stopped in the middle of the road. These eyes saw this. I was aidist to this insanity, right? The car stopped. It was like four cars in front of me, and I didn't understand what's going on because the whole thing just stopped. And then, so you wait. I don't know, and they're beeping. I'm thinking to myself, what are they beeping? What could be, right? You look out. The person, there's a makolet over there. You know what I'm talking about? Like right by, you know, like a few feet away, Darton, right? Yeah, Darton. There's no, he went in. He stopped the car in the middle of the road. He had to run in. He had to just get a drink. So he stopped the car in the middle of the road, right? Ran in. You also see, like, there's a line of people there. It means he cut all the people online. Yeah. And, you know, this is what's going on. He ran in, bought a drink, came out, and went like this to the car who was beeping. I wanted to go over to the guy and say, if we had you on our team, man, you know, I want to tell you Mechutzafim. I want to tell you about the greatest Mechutzafim that ever walked the face of the earth. Right? There's a Jew named, no, because we all, a lot of us have this Mida. Right? A lot of us have this Mida also. So if we could direct this Mida for Kodesh Lashem, we could become great Jews. All the great Jews that you ever heard of were big Mechutzafim. Mechutzif. Right? Kedusha, though. Right? I want to tell you some stories about Mechutzaf. There's a Jew named the Skelener Rebbe. I don't know what his name was. His name was the... What?
The one that's now?
No. The Zecher Tzadik Levracha. Zecher Tzadik Levracha. This Jew was a Jew that was a Mechutzif Mamish from a different nature of Mechutzif. He had a terrible midah of Avetz Yisrael. Mamish, by him, there was nothing more important than a Jew. Nothing more important. He lived after the war in Hungary, and the communists at that time were really the neighborhood over there. And he was Isaac constantly. He spent more time in jail than he spent in the shtiebel. Right. There's one story when I want to bring out the mechutzif of the Skelener Rebbe, the one story that I think of is there was a terrible maisa. I think it was in the 70s that there were 10 Jews that were. They claimed for espionage or whatnot, you know, a couple of guys in the shtiebel, right? That they chopped 10 Jews and they put them in jail and they were going to try them for their life and whatnot. I don't know what the whole mice was. It was a worldwide thing, right? And the Skelener Rebbe had no rest from this. And every single day after davening, he would go to the police station. This is like, you know, KGB chevra, not the people that love Jews so much. You know, every day after davening, he would go straight from the shtiebel to this is going on for 5-6 days, whatever it was, straight to the police station, and he would sit there and lobby and hack and go from this person. They didn't like Jews there, right? And he would sit there and go from this person to try to get someone to listen. They didn't do it. Imagine, like, you know, this mechutzif, right? And, like, didn't stop. One day, police chief, I don't know, whatever, right, had moshkes. He took out a gun, he put it to the Skelener Rebbe's head, and he said to him, if you come back tomorrow, I'll shoot you dead on the spot. Now, these guys, by them killing a kike is like, you know, it's a trophy, right? It's a promotion, right? You know, it means now you'll be in charge of cleaning the toilet, right? It's like, you know, So Skelener Rebbe went back home. They comes to the shul the next morning, right? He goes again, like, you know, he's getting ready to leave. He puts on his record, like he's leaving, and they know he's going to the place. He's going to the police station. They tell him, what's he doing? What's he doing? So he said he's going, you know, where he's going. So he said to him, it's Rem, and what about V'chai Behem? V'chai Behem, these guys are going to, he's going to shoot you dead. Yeah? So he said, listen, by me, you know, it's the last 6 days they've been in jail. By me, there's no life. I'm already dead. So by me, there's no din v'chai b'hem. I don't know. I said I speak aloha. I don't know if that's true aloha. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. But he said, by me, there's no life. If these six people, they're going to try them for what they didn't do, I can't sleep at night. So by me, there's no life. So he went to the police station. Nope. An hour later, he's not back. So for sure, he's dead. There's no shiloh. Nope. So the, you know, by 3 hours later, they already stopped saying tillim. You don't say tillim for dead people. There's no point. And then a few hours later, it's already close to Shkia, and they see the Sklana Rebbe walking. I don't know if it was coming back into the Gegel and the Shtetl. I don't know exactly what's going on over there. Maybe walk, like we were a block away. I have no idea. And they see the Sklana Rebbe coming back, and the Sklana Rebbe is filled with blood. He's filled with blood. He's literally walking like this, mamish, like, and he has. They say you never in your life saw somebody smiling that like that in their life. He got this Schmeichel from ear to ear, from blood to blood. Yeah. And they asked him what happened. What happened? He said he went there to the police station. He came up the stairs of the police station. The police chief or whoever sees him, and he starts yelling at him, "You mechutzif, you people are crazy!" And he started to beat him, right? And he threw him down the stairs, and he starts screaming, "Take your people and get out of here, you crazy people!" Right? And they gave back the juice. Yeah. Okay, they ask him, "No, what's the obvious kasha?" That's kasha. "So where have you been for the last 8 hours?" So Mamshi kasha. "So where have I been? It took me this long to get home." Mechutzif, chutzpah. That's Aziz. Could you imagine if he wasn't on our team? Imagine if that guy, what he would be. You go out, open the door, we'd make a full shop. He would buy a full. He would make a whole entire shop in the Mako or lit. Right, you know, while the car is sitting darting in the middle of the street. Chutzpah. Right? You have to direct this chutzpah. I'm going to tell you about mechutzafim. There was a capo, I think his name was Big Russia. Big Russia, I think his name was Shniha. It was a famous story. You know, the famous story, you get a name, you know. The capos were the worst. They were worse. They were worse than the Nazis, some of them. Mamish, the mechutzif. The worst. That's what happens when that mita is directed in the wrong way. Sometimes my father once asked, I think my Zayda, Zecharon Levracha, he asked him, you know, if we would be there, I don't know, would we be able to the Nisayan of, you know, when they put the gun to your head and said, now you have to hit a Jew, would we be able to, like, how we, what's supposed to be our Ashkofa to such a, it's a tough question, right? You know what I mean? Like, we you know, so would I be able to say, no, I'll take the gun, I'll take the bullet, and they'll shoot me and not to go hit another yid and whatever? So it's a valid question. A valid question, right? You know, it's a valid question. So my question that my father, I think he was a kid, he asked my Zayda, right? So my Zayda answered him, that's the answer. Understand? That's the answer. Right? That's the answer. Sugar? Never did he ask that question again. All right? Ayid? What, are you crazy? That was sugar. That's the answer. Right? He didn't go and ask Bubby, the Colonel of Racha, you know, with her numbers on the arm because she had those big Hungarian nails, you know what I mean, right? Right? Not Freddy, Fredel, I don't know what you want to call her. You know? That's the answer. So, we do talk against the capos, which I tell you. So this capo, this Shniyaus, this Mechutzif, he was the worst of the capos. They say he was the worst of the worst of the capos. And there was a certain, it was one of the Rebbes that Taka got out. I don't remember. One of the Rebbes that got out. I don't remember which Rebbe. And he got him on, he was there. This Rebbe had arranged that on Yom Kippur should be able to work at one of the houses of the Nazi commandant or whatever. I mean, that he shouldn't have to be working on Yom Kippur. It'll be a different type of a job or whatever. I don't know what the cheshbonis were, but he was there on Yom Kippur. So then they knew this Jew was a very big tzaddik and a halakha yid. So bedafka on Yom Kippur, they brought in wonderful, yummy, delicious smelling food, Nazi smelling food, and they put the, you know, the food in front of him, and they told him to eat, right? So he said, this tzaddik, a guy, it's like I'm messing up the story, I don't remember the name, but it's the name of a tzaddik, one of the tzaddikim. And he said, I won't eat on Yom Kippur. You know, that there is such a basis for Rav Ashri and the Truvus Mamakim discusses it. Taka, did they have it right? It was a Shas HaShmad, perhaps. You know, maybe you could give up your life in that case. And what was the life anyways? What kind of Cheskes Chaim did they have there? So he said, Taka, I don't eat on Yom Kippur. Right? So this capo, Russia, was there, and the Nazi told the capo, make him eat the food. Yom Kippur, make him eat the food. So this capo, this mechutzif capo, he turned to the Nazi and he says, no, it's Yom Kippur. He won't eat on Yom Kippur. So the Nazi said to him, okay, so then you eat it. So he said, no, I won't eat on Yom Kippur. And shot him dead on the spot. Right? The Nazi shot the capo dead on the spot. Right? And he went up to the highest place in Gan Eden because he took that terrible midah of mechutzif. Mechutzif, such a mechutzif. And he mechutzifed right back into his face. You have to learn to do this in life. You have to learn how to be mechutzif. You know, I was just told a story. I had a dreadful dealing. There was a Russian, Baal Tshuva, who was just nifter. It was a very shver parsha. He was nifter, and he was going through a divorce, a whole parsha, a ganze parsha. And it was hard for me to understand because dealing with the wife and whatnot, it was a ganze parsha. Not important to Yasek right now. But there's a person involved in Kirov who I was starting to understand the Russian culture, the Russian people. Russian, you know, the only thing I know from Russia is vodka, which is about, you know, that's a very good expression of the whole society, basically. It's like, it's hard for me to understand this society. He was explaining to me, you know, he was saying to me like this. He was trying to explain to me, you don't understand Russian Baal Tshuva, because you don't understand Russians. So he told me that story. I don't remember if he said he was the one that was mamish the person, was makarev this person in the story or not, but it was like him at the first-hand maisa. He's just trying to explain Russians, just understand what we're talking about over here. And he's trying to explain to me that the Russians are takas, Russians, right? You know, kishmoy kainim, you know, he said to me that he was being makarev a boy, an 11-year-old boy. Again, I don't remember if he's being makarev, but somebody was being makarev an 11-year-old boy. This 11-year-old boy, his parents, you know, anti-religious, it's, you know, what do you want? The Russian government spent billions of dollars over the course of the 80 years to uproot every shemitz, glimpse, epis, anything of Yiddishkeit. So they were successful, and his parents had a sinner to religion. His Jewish parents had a sinner to religion. So, but, you know, as long as it wasn't affecting them, it didn't, you know, they were just very, very belittling about the whole entire parsha. But they weren't, you know, but once it came to the violin lesson on Shabbos, so the mother said to the son, you're going to your violin lesson this Saturday. So the child got like the understanding that you're not allowed to play violin on Shabbos. And he didn't know you're not allowed to play violin on Shabbos, but his mother just told him that, you know, you're going to your violin lesson on Saturday, right? So he didn't know what to do. So he went to the person who did Kiruv with him, and he asked him, are you allowed to play the violin on Shabbos? You know, and this person, this well-meaning Makariv, you know, thought, you know, he's like interested, he's asking a question, and you know, whatever. No, you're not allowed to play a musical instrument on Shabbos, and it's because of this, and this. Okay, and he went home, and he told his mother, I don't go to violin lesson on Shabbos. So the mother said, you're going to the violin, you know, you're here in the background, Boris burping some vodka, you know, you're coming, right? She, you know, what'd your mother say? You're going to the violin lesson on Shabbos. You're going to bring him. I don't go to violin lesson on Shabbos, right? You're dealing with, you know, mechutzif against mechutzif. I don't know if the place to be working in Kirov would have been like, you know, to be standing on, to play an instrument on Shabbos is an isser. It's an isser derabanan. And maybe, I don't know, maybe in halacha we would cut our losses. I don't know. Right there. Not, I told you. No halacha right now. Right? I don't know. I don't know if you should have taught him this information, right? You should have taught him, you should play violin all day long this Shabbos, right? Don't do anything. Don't go on your phone. Just play violin the whole Shabbos, right? But they made the mistake of telling a Russian that you don't play Shabbos, you don't play violin. Understand the mindset of this mechutzif, right? I don't play violin. And his mother, the mechutzafa, right? You're playing violin this Shabbos. No games. Yeah? So he said, I'm not playing violin. So they said, you go now, right? Or you're going to go, right? So he said, okay. So he walked over to the door, took his hand, put it in the door, and slammed the door in his hands. Now I don't play violin this Shabbos. Now you understand Russian Baal Tshuva?
Now you understand? I went like this.
Asher Yetzar is at the open.
Mechutzif! Chutzpah! Chutzpah! You cap what it means. You can take you, a lot of us. Mechutzafim! A lot of us, we have in us this mechutzifkeit, right? Mechutzif. You have to direct this chutzpah to Kedusha. I was in the hospital 2 weeks ago. There's somebody in Nebuch, he's dying of Yana Machla. And he has a certain problem. And part of his machla is that he can't have liquid. He can't drink, right? It is a terrible problem. It is a terrible problem. And he has his mouth is so parched. They have a special gum for him. It's a terrible problem. But it's part of the machla. It's not that that's the actual machla. And he can't drink. So they give him a certain amount of liquid that he's allowed to have a week. I come to his room. I see like this. I see seven shot glasses. Seven of like those plastic shot glasses. And they, it's a very interesting thing. Four of them have water to the top, right? And three of them have like, you know, like this much water, and that much water, you know, like halfway and a third and a quarter, whatever. And I'm like, it's not, it's very interesting. It's like on the, you don't know what it is, if it's medicine, or you don't know what it is, but it looks like water. It looks like some clear thing. It's like interesting, you know? And I'm not so good at Beaker Chaylim, so I'm like, what's that? Right? After sitting there looking at it for like a few minutes, I said to him, what is that? You know, it's, you know, awkward questions that should not be asked when you're doing Bikur Chaylam. Right? So I said, what is that? I said, I'll tell you what that is. He's not allowed to drink. The person that was there was telling me the story. He couldn't really talk. He said, he's not allowed to drink. He's not allowed to drink. But they give him a certain amount that he's allowed to drink a week. And that amount, right, what they do is they tell him he should be mechalik it into the days of the week. And he should, you know, sometimes he takes like a cotton, you know, like a gauze, you know, and put it in there and just like suck on it. And there's a certain level of liquid that he's allowed to have. So that's what he has there, the cups. Yeah, so, Rabbeinu, right? What's my gasha? So how come these ones full and these ones not? So he said, oh, well, look, you came on Tuesday, it was, or I don't know, it was Tuesday, right? You came on Tuesday, right? So look, each day of the week gets a cup of water, right? But he knows he's allowed to have that amount of water the week. His body is allowed to be soluble that amount of water, right? So what he does is like this. Each day he has a certain amount, but whatever he could save for Shabbos, he saves for Shabbos, okay? So Sunday he drank this much. The rest he said, that much I could save for Shabbos, right? So Monday there's a little bit left there. Tuesday a little bit left there, right? I said to him, I said Monday was a tough day, no? Monday went down to, Sunday was a little bit more, right? And Sunday's after Shabbos. Things not to say when you're being Mevaker Chaylim, right? Sunday was right after Shabbos, so there was a little bit more because he had the water from the day before, he had a lot, right? And Monday there was a little bit less, Tuesday's not so bad, right? M'chutzif, right? Just give up already. It's at the end, stop caring about Shabbos. Enough with Shabbos, you're at the end, no? Enough. Why are you being mechutzif? Mechutzif, such a chutzpah. For a person to do that, he has to be a certain type of az panim. He has to be a certain type of mechutzif. You have to tap into this, Rabbi Yisai. Because we come from a world where, you know, chutzpah, we believe in chutzpah. all the hand motions. We believe in chutzpah. So you know what? You know what? I'm not going to cancel chutzpah by you. Direct it. Be mechutzafim. Be mechutzafim. It's not so hard, you know. You're going to walk out of here today. What did he teach us? He taught us to be mechutzif. And he taught us that, you know, the guys that don't talk to girls are gay. Good Shabbos.